Are you ready? Are we ready to start here?
I'm not. Don't start it yet.
Well, we're going. Too late. Too late. We're going. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Hoops HD Under the Radar video podcast recording for you live on tape delay here on the evening of Wednesday, December 14th, a little after 10, almost 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, actually. I am your host, Chad Sherwood. Down below me there is John Stalica. Off to my side over here, David Griggs. David, you're looking around. Is everything okay?
No.
If you look carefully on David's screen, we're going to see from WikiLeaks a page of their playbook being leaked every day.
WikiLeaks. Yeah. David, we got to start with this. I know it's not under the radar, but how responsible were you for WikiLeaks?
I would have just sold it to him.
Okay. Yeah, that's a heck of a story.
If you'd like a playbook, just tweet. There it is, at David G. Puppet. I'll send it to you or tweet it to you.
Well, this is our Under the Radar podcast where we focus in on the conferences that are not multi-bid conferences. That means we'll not be discussing the Power Five conferences, nor the Big East, nor the American, the Atlantic 10, the West Coast Conference, or for reasons we still haven't figured out, we are not going to be discussing the Mountain West either. But the other 22 conferences are fair game.
Yeah.
What we want to do before we go through any of the conferences, there was a bit of a news out of the Ohio Valley Conference. David, Sean Woods, the head coach, who's been suspended for a while now, has actually now turned around and had criminal charges pressed against him by two players, Malik Maitland and, I'm going to butcher this name, I know, Sufiani Diakite.
Close enough, yes.
That he actually struck them, made contact with them during halftime of their game against Indiana, as a result of which they've actually filed criminal complaints against their head coach.
That game was against Evansville, though.
Yes, it was the Evansville game. I think it was in Indiana. That's where the charges have been pressed, because it was in Indiana.
Yeah, it's a sign things aren't going well when your coach is being charged with assault by his own players. A real unfortunate situation. Sean Woods, always been an animated guy, an intense guy, and you may recall, I believe it was the 12-13 season, something similar happened. Now, it wasn't like an assault to where he punched somebody, but he did shove somebody or strike somebody on the sidelines during their game. He immediately apologized. He was suspended for a number of games. I think it was three or four. I don't remember exactly. But first of all, like, if this was a first-time offense, it's a fireable offense potentially. The second time, how do you not discharge this man? Like, he's been suspended. He hasn't coached a game since it happened. How has he just not been fired for cause? And does he ever get a coaching job again? I mean, not that you want to see someone's career come to an end, but this is just not acceptable.
I think as we've seen in the case of Jim O'Brien, albeit in another type of situation, the university may just be dotting their I's and crossing their T's before they can actually pull off a dismissal in this case, but we'll have to see. But it certainly does not look good for Sean Woods at this stage.
That's a great point, John. I really think that you may be right dead on there, that is why he has not actually been fired yet. It's just a matter of the university making sure they fully documented their files so they do not end up with him turning around and suing them and alleging that the story was made up and it didn't really happen. These charges are filed. If they go to end up with a guilty plea or they go to a trial and there's a guilty verdict against him, well, that's clearly proven that he did it. That's a proof beyond a reasonable doubt in a courtroom. I think that's the end of the day for Sean Woods and his career ever. I agree with you on that, David.
Yeah, and, you know, he was a fairly successful coach. He had some good years at Morehead State. You just hate to see this. And to be fair, I was mistaken, not on the air. I'm never mistaken on the air. But in the email thread, I was mistaken in the sense that I thought this was on film. It wasn't. It happened at halftime. So there isn't any – I can't say for certain whether he did or didn't do it, but it's not good when you're being accused of this to the point to where criminal charges have been filed.
I did get a chance to watch the video just the other day of the incident from back in 2012 in a game against Kentucky, where he began by shoving the player in the back forcibly enough that he made a few steps forward from the shove, and then sat there for about 5 minutes just berating this kid to the point that the announcers were sitting there talking about it and talk about that just would not stop. He was laying into his player again and again, to the point that his player was, you know, practically on the verge of tears, and it was way, way, way too far for a coach to go, especially during the middle of a game on national TV. It was just ridiculous, I thought.
Yeah, and against Kentucky, and you might remember, if you're as old as I am, that Sean Woods was a former player at Kentucky. It was a bit of a homecoming, and he was someone that was well-revered, so he got a bit of a hero's welcome when he's introduced. And then to have that incident, not that it's appropriate to happen anywhere, but to have it happen at Kentucky, his home, so to speak, it was just really embarrassing.
And let's not forget, he was the one that actually hit the shot to put Kentucky ahead in that fabled game against Duke in 91-92.
Yes. Very good. I mean, I didn't think about that, but yes, he was. If you're looking for a frame of reference here, the shot before Christian Laettner that put Kentucky ahead in that infamous game that we've all seen was hit by Sean Woods. Yes. Thank you, John.
Yeah, great point there, John. I did not even recall that either. But on that note, let's turn away from that and turn to the actual games that are being played on the court. And what I'm going to do here, again, like we do every week, we're going to go ahead and pull up the on the screen here the current standings. And they should be up there right now, the Sun Belt standings. Yes. We like to start with one of the conferences as a feature conference. And what's on the screen, we'll go with the Sun Belt. Why the hell not?
Yeah, and it is airtight in this conference. I mean, the first and last place team are just dead even right now if you see the conference records there. Thank you for this, Jed.
This is actually updated right as we record now. I've just got it updated with Little Rock now 9-2 after the win tonight at Northern Arizona. But let's start with Texas Arlington down here in fourth place according to overall records. But as you can see, the 60 in the KenPom is the best in the conference. Second best RPI. We'll get to Arkansas State in a minute, but I actually going to go over here. We should be seeing now Arlington's schedule. Huge win, as I predicted, at St. Mary's last week. Adding to that, to wins at Texas, wins at Fordham. Three losses early in the season, but David, how good is this Arlington team?
Good, and they're certainly rolling now. I mean, they've won 8 in a row, I think, or maybe 7 since St. Francis, Illinois doesn't count. Really, I know they lost the game, but they really played well in that Arkansas game. So they have really been on a tear. They had, again, they really hit a skid there early in the year, losing those three games. But I think they've rebounded from it. When you look at this profile, none of those losses, maybe other than Gulf Coast, are that bad to the point to where winning at Texas and winning in St. Mary's don't offset that. In looking ahead, they're going to be favored in just about every game. I don't think they'll win all of them. But if they can avoid dropping too many of these, like they should, the way they're going, they should be able to win all but one or two the rest of the way. And I think that might be enough to put them inside the bubble.
Yeah. Trip to Bradley, that might be their tough. That is of their two remaining non-conference games. Their toughest, a trip to Loyola Marymount, then into conference play. John, let me go. Besides this Arlington team, I did mention here, if you look at the RPI, actually, the best RPI of the conference right now, Arkansas State, still a little too early for RPI to be very meaningful, but this is another team that we have been very high on so far this season. And they just came off a very nice win tonight in Tennessee Martin, 87-68. They ended up blowing out a pretty good UT Martin team.
Well, the RPI is also a function of who you've played so far. I mean, the Georgetown win notwithstanding, they also have a win against Chattanooga, which also helped to put them on our collective radars earlier in the year. Lehigh, and I guess at the time, UT Martin was also somewhat of a decent win, which it's not easy to win at their place. But North Dakota State, not much of a crime losing there. TCU, not a crime to lose there.
John, can I go back a second here? You said at the time they beat UT Martin, it was a good win. You realize that was 2 hours ago.
Yes.
I just wanted to find out, you know, maybe a lot has happened since then. But
Also, about 12 hours since you wrote it up is your game of the day under the radar.
Yeah.
David, let's put the screen back up here, though. Is there anyone else that you've been looking at the Sun Belt besides these two teams?
No one that is really looking like that they can land inside the bubble. And I mean, it would take a tremendous effort for Arkansas State to get there. Little Rock has a bloated record, but as we were observing, a lot of that has come against a lot of fluff, but still, you know, they were the best team in the league this year, last year, Chris Beard doing a fantastic job there last year. He ended up at, where did he go? UNLV?
Very, very,
and then Texas Tech.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah, and then Texas Tech. So, but again, off to a 9-2 start, I'd say they're handling the transition really well. Louisiana Lafayette, they had a big game tonight. They're off to a good start. So we're seeing a lot of good records here.
Yeah, Louisiana, Little Rock's problem, two of those wins are non-D1 wins. They've also been Central Arkansas twice, Arkansas Pine Bluff, not much. Louisiana Lafayette actually lost tonight, though, David. They lost.
Yeah, losing at Georgia, but, that's – again, you win. Had they picked up that win, you might start looking at them like, ooh, is this one of the contenders? Can they contend for the NCAA tournament? Probably not. But when you look at this conference race, it's going to be pretty exciting. It's too bad that the tournament isn't at campus sites.
Now, the tournament being played in New Orleans. Couple other points here. It is going to be a full 12-team tournament this year. They had for a few years there, but only go with 8 teams only. With Coastal Carolina coming in, all 12 teams will be in the field. One other team I want to bring up here is actually Georgia Southern. Hasn't done much this year, but did pick up a huge road win at Gulf Coast. A game they really blew out a Florida Gulf Coast team earlier this week.
Yeah, looked impressive there. They're one of those teams that just can't ever seem to get it going.
But let's go ahead and beyond the Sun Belt, let's go back and run through the rest of these conferences in alphabetical order, and we're going to start.
We won't mention how much Chad liked South Alabama.
Yeah, South Alabama ran into a little bit of a snag the past week or so, and they
a snag being called Stetson, and
losing at home to Stetson is pretty bad for your health, I think.
And Denver.
Anyhow, the America East. And
well,
let's start with the team of the people. David, we have a little bit of news about them.
Yes, their banner was scheduled to arrive today. I don't know if they've tweeted back at us to say whether or not they've gotten it. It probably went to some secretary that had no idea what the hell it was. But their preseason NIT championship banner was scheduled to be delivered today. If you're watching this out there in New Hampshire, I hope you're enjoying that. I hope it's being displayed proudly.
I'm sure it's a banner day for everyone in New Hampshire.
Yeah, but how about this?
John, where's the mute button?
But look at this stretch they're in. They're in a stretch where they've played 5 out of their last 6 games have been true road games, and they've only lost one of them. Really, really impressive run, especially by under-the-radar standards. And I think it's safe to say, I mean, we loved NJIT, we love Grand Canyon. I think as far as how good a team actually is on the court, this would rank ahead of the previous 2 years, wouldn't you think, Jed? I mean, look at what they've done.
I would agree. Another very winnable game coming up this weekend at BU. And got to circle it here. It's the game of the season.
Yes.
Saturday, New Year's Eve, December 31st at Dartmouth, and we did confirm last week, David,
yes,
has been declared a state holiday. State offices are closed.
Yes.
It is a holiday in the state.
It is a holiday, and we're going to try and get you a second one.
Yes, we're going to look ahead a little bit further there. Coming up in January, Monday, January 16th, you can see it down there a little lower, they play Vermont. That's Martin Luther King Day, so it's a 1 o'clock start that afternoon. We're going to try to get state offices closed that day as well.
The office is closed that day as well, yes.
Going to be a little bit tougher, but I think we may be able to pull that one off too.
Yeah, there's another team we have to talk about.
Go ahead, David. You want to talk a little bit about Stony Brook?
Hartford Hawks?
Not exactly. UMBC, who was a bit, Centenary, just a notch above that for the last 3 or 4 years, coming in here, winning 7 of their first 8. And again, it was a pastry shop of a schedule, but the fact that a team that had been that poor was beating anyone was noteworthy. They went in the Richmond and almost beat them. In fact, arguably should have beaten them. They led for most of the game. And I know this sounds weird to say, but of everything we've seen from this conference, they've looked as good as anyone. UMBC, who hasn't really been good since I think the 06-07 season, might be one of the best teams in this league.
Yeah, they've really impressed me. The win at Duquesne, the way they played at Richmond, I guess, because they really don't have any other big wins. Towson and Citadel coming up within the next week. A nice trip to James Madison, another very winnable game there. And then a trip to Virginia Tech that's probably a little bit out of their reach.
Yeah, but I mean, could you? And I know Richmond's been disappointing this year, which seems to be the trait. But I was just astounded they went in there and almost won. And did the game go to overtime, or am I? I think it did.
No, the letters OT would have been sitting right here. So
okay, I didn't know if you accounted for that or not.
And they're also 2-0 against their in-state rivals. If you look at Eastern Shore and also Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the powerful teams of Maryland, Eastern Shore, and Mount St. Mary's.
And they get Towson coming up this weekend on the other side of Baltimore County.
I can't believe I don't see Coppin State on this schedule. I'm really disappointed.
They're on there.
They are?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this schedule only lists relevant opponents.
Okay. Beyond the America East, let's keep things moving along here. And John, let me go over to you here. The Atlantic. So we already discussed this Gulf Coast team, that very disappointing loss at home to Georgia Southern. Where are we going with this A Sun this year now?
They're going to Dayton.
David, is that what we're doing with them?
It looks that way. I mean, I suppose if Jacksonville or Gulf Coast absolutely runs over the league, they could end up inside the first four. But they haven't shown it so far. I still like this league, especially when it gets in the league play. It's one of the more fun leagues to watch. But we aren't really seeing anything that indicates that they're going to be above the 16 line.
Well, I would know. I mean, Gulf Coast did have that early win over Arlington, which we just talked about how much we like Arlington, and a win over Siena. But that loss to Georgia Southern was just a real head scratcher, I think.
It was, and they have a tendency to do that. Like, they have a tendency to make you scratch your head. One of the surprising teams in a bad way is just North Florida. What happened? Good God.
Yeah, North Florida sitting here at 3-9. One of the worst, some of the worst power ratings in this league. It's not quite the worst than anybody else, but let's look at what North Florida has actually done this year. They have now, they haven't won a game since November 25th, including losses to UT Rio Grande Valley, Cal State Bakersfield. It's pathetic.
It is, and a lot of these are understandable. Florida, Syracuse, you know, you're talking about teams, LSU, you're talking about teams that are hard to beat. Miami, another one. But Bakersfield, Wright State, who's having a decent year. I mean, to lose those games, Rio Grande Valley, I mean, to lose those is not – and this is a North Florida team that we thought was going to be one of the better teams in the league, or at least I did, and here they are looking like one of the worst.
I mean, at this point, David, I don't even know if they're going to be able to beat Connecticut on Sunday. And if anybody – you could be anybody in the country this year, it's Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, if they can't win at UConn, I mean, the season's really in trouble here.
Okay, let's go on to the – I believe we're up to the Big Sky next. And, John – Eastern Washington, now after an 8-2 start. This is an all-time record for Eastern Washington. This is the best start the school has ever gone out to. And I think it's finally given us somebody to talk about in this conference.
Yep, I think you also want to scroll over to the right because they are number one in luck on Ken Pom's list right now.
And I can show you exactly why. Look at this. They have played four games in overtime, two of which were double overtime. They've won all four of them. So including a win just last night over Morehead State in overtime. This team knows how to win close games. That's all I can say about them.
And I believe they're also the only team that's beaten San Francisco at this point in time, although the Don's record is pretty padded right now.
Some of Chad's numbers, he's turned into quite the numbers guy. When we get down to the Ohio Valley and we look up Morehead State's luck, I hope it doesn't break his computer.
John, interesting game coming up Tuesday. This Eastern Washington team is at Xavier.
Yep. I mean, that's going to give him one more shot at a ranked opponent this year. But at the same time, you better not overlook Northern Kentucky, which will be part of their road trip into the 275 loop of Cincinnati.
David, anything else in this Big Sky Conference that's worth discussing?
A little bit of a shout-out to North Dakota. I like the direction their program's going. They're having one of their best years in recent memory. They haven't looked as good as Eastern Washington as of yet, but again, that big luck factor, they're kind of a team to watch.
You realize this team lost to North Florida, right?
Never mind. Let's move on.
They actually have the game two of their two games that they play against in-state rival North Dakota State coming up on Friday night. How they dominated that game at North Dakota State.
I believe this is new, isn't it, Chad? I mean, they've always played, but I think this is the first year they've played twice. At least I could be mistaken, but I don't ever recall them doing that prior to this.
I don't recall it happening. It may start happening a lot more. Actually, there have been rumors of North Dakota talk about leaving the Big Sky, moving over to the Summit League for all sports other than football, where they would join the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Not done yet by any means, but they could end up becoming conference rivals in a few years here.
And that's where North Dakota State has their football parked, if I'm not mistaken. Valley football.
Yeah, it is. Which is basically the SEC of the FCS these days.
Big South Conference, a couple good RPIs here, I guess, with Winthrop and Asheville both being in the top 50. But I think you look at the KenPoms being in well into the hundreds, it shows you that how these RPIs are just overinflated at some points, sometimes early this season.
Yes.
Well, they've got some strong strength of schedules in there, but that's the only thing that's inflating the RPI right now.
Oh, boy. Well, at least they fixed their conference tournament. This conference, at least from a regular season standings, has been spectacularly exciting. It's just unfortunate that it didn't mean anything, but this year it does. Asheville, Winthrop, I think, are the two teams that have looked the best. Asheville looking pretty good.
Yeah, when you say it didn't mean anything, David, what you mean is that in the past they just had to go to a neutral predetermined site, not even a neutral site, for the conference tournament. This year will be played on the conference site of the regular season champion.
And here you see them, UNC Asheville right there, their big win over our man Warren Nolan. I'm sorry, that's Warren Wilson.
Yes, our good friend Warren Nolan's, maybe he's related to him, Warren Wilson, 117-52. Next test they get is their last non-conference test there at Ohio State, probably a little bit over their head there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We think.
Yeah.
We think, although, you never know. John, over in the Big West, wow.
Glad you went to John.
John, I'll just let you take this conference. I'll just stay quiet.
I think whoever wins this conference may end up playing Gulf Coast or possibly the MEAC champion. I mean, right now, Irvine has some of the better computer numbers, although Long Beach State, again, also being padded by a top 10 strength of schedule, but only one Division I win for the 49ers at this point.
I just got to highlight this column right here, David.
Nobody is over 500.
No one's within two. Is anyone over 400? I don't think they are.
The Big West has historically been, a 13 seed type of conference. You'll be 16, not only going to Dayton, but wearing the dark uniform to Dayton.
And it was only, 26, 27 years ago when that conference actually got three teams into the tournament. UNLV, East Santa Barbara, and who else am I missing?
New Mexico State.
New Mexico State and Long Beach State just missed the tournament that year as well.
Yeah, they've had teams very close to the bubble. It normally hovers around the 12 or 13 line normally, and I think Long Beach was inside the bubble recently. I mean, when I say recently, within the last 10 years. Anyway, not this year.
No, not this year. Pathetically bad year for the Big West Conference. So let's just keep moving on. David, you can have the next conference up. The Colonial, where we do want to talk bubble talk here, I believe.
Yeah, UNC Wilmington, as we've expected, at least as I did, and I'm again being proven right, is really impressive 9-1 start. Here comes their schedule. And again, looking at their profile on the surface, it's not going to really pop. But if you start to peel back the onion, as they say, and look at it, it's pretty good. You know, the win at Eastern Kentucky typically pretty good at home. But how about the win last Saturday at St. Bonaventure? I think they're the only team that's won at St. Bonaventure so far. Bonaventure, maybe not a tournament team, but they're a solid NIT team and maybe even better than that. And they don't lose many home games. So I think they're going to get a lot of credit for that. The win at Western Michigan, that's one that they're going to get a lot of credit for, although it's hard to say what Western Michigan's going to look like as the year progresses after what happened there recently.
Yeah. One more really big non-conference test coming up December 28th at Clemson. They pull off that one. And I think it's possible for them to win that game. Win that game, they've got to be on everybody's radar.
And they certainly can. I think if that game's on a neutral floor, I would pick Wilmington to win it, and they might go into Clemson and win that one.
One other team I do want to discuss here is this Charleston team. If we're going to see somebody else in the tournament besides Wilmington, or if we're going to see two teams in by Wilmington getting an at-large bid, this is the team I really like to be the top contender here. Had a three-game losing streak, but it was UCF, Wake Forest, and Villanova. Have a nice home win over Davidson.
Yeah.
One at Coastal Carolina, which is not easy to do, at least. I kind of like this team this year.
Yeah, I think that's a big game tomorrow. Well, their next two, really. Not that East Carolina and LSU are that strong, but they're typically formidable at home. They're entering a stretch where, good God, the five straight road games – if they can pick up three or four of those, you're right, they're formidable. And the one that got me was, I know they were at home, but just how badly they beat Davidson. I mean, they ran away from them, and they had them at arm's length the entire time.
And we'll also get into this a little bit later on. LSU was lucky to survive against North Carolina Central, so I don't think they're going to be overlooking Charleston in that one.
You don't know how close the MEAC came to being our feature conference this week. It almost happened, so we'll get to that in just a second here. But we've got a few conferences to get through.
Charleston beat LSU by about 30 last year. So.
John, Middle Tennessee – did it again tonight. Very nice road win at Belmont. They've now, I believe, won like five games in the city of Nashville this year, including some neutral court games they played up there. 10-1 of this season. You can see over here, all the way on the right, you see actually the rankings, the AP and the coaches poll. They were in the rankings in both, not in the top 25, but getting votes. Does this team deserve to be in that top 25 at this point?
Well, they were great at the start. They were great at the finish tonight. And probably like another team we'll get into later on, they may very well be ineligible for our top 10 if they get voted above the radar. I mean, I think they're pretty deserving at this point. And they get another opportunity coming up this Saturday at VCU.
Huge opportunity. I think that is the type of name brand win that may get some voters recognition, David.
Yeah, it should. And, I mean, they've looked better than VCU. They've played, I think, teams that are as good or better, and they've beaten teams that are as good or better. And look at, you know, not too impressive against Murray State early on. You kind of scratch your head with the Tennessee State loss. But since then, you know, UNC Wilmington, the team we just talked about, getting that win, you know, blowing out Ole Miss at Ole Miss, beating South Alabama down at South Alabama, absolutely dispatching Vandy from the face of the earth the other night. And this is – I really, really hope that people
– and don't overlook beating Toledo twice in 4 days. I mean,
yeah.
Toledo may not be that great this year, but beating any team twice in 4 days is not an easy task ever.
Yeah, they look the part, and I know that, like, you have to have the paper along with the eye test, but the eye test is there. If you put them out there against an 8, 9, 10, 11-seeded team, They would compete with all of them. They would probably beat most of them. And you just hope that they're, that the committee is able to see that, because when you look at the paper and you look at the number of road games that they've played and you look at how they've won, this is a good team. And you can't just say, oh, no top 25 win. This is a good team. They really are.
And those three games are actually neutral court games, Wilmington, Toledo, and Evansville. Yeah. I believe that was part of an exempt event in Nashville, which is not too far from Murfreesboro.
Right. That's how they got those five wins in Nashville this year. Another win tonight against Belmont. John, is there anyone else in Conference USA that you think could challenge Middle Tennessee State at all?
I don't know about challenge, but it seems like Marshall and Charlotte have also been pleasant surprises. Charlotte especially, what I think is the second year with Mark Price as their head coach. Although Marshall, I don't think that's a team that's going to be – that has a bloated record like we've seen last year. But if you look at what Charlotte has done, not too many name wins in there, but Elon, East Carolina, Appalachian State. They took advantage of Oregon State this year. The only head-scratching loss is the one against Upstate.
Yeah, I'm not that sold on the Charlotte team. I still think, David, I know you, I think you had them in their top 10 last week. This Rice team is the team that you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, you do. You know, just the one real close loss at Texas Tech and then the seven wins. None of them, again, really pop out at you, but still looking pretty good.
Tough test tomorrow night, though.
Yeah. St. Edwards. It's actually in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, you're right.
I'm assuming that must be some sort of field trip or something that I don't know. Why in the world?
Okay. But coming up this weekend, the game at Pittsburgh, it's kind of circled that game. Pitt could be in trouble in that game.
It could be, but I don't know. I don't think they're quite on that level yet. But
St. Edwards, I think they've been a fixture on SFA's schedule in recent memory as well.
Yes. And our favorite person in the world, Tim Floyd, off to a 1-6 start against Div 1 teams. Good job, Tim.
This has to be that backup there. UTEP got totally demolished yesterday by New Mexico State at home. Yes. There they are, 1-6, 312 RPI, 266 Ken Palm. Good luck keeping your job, Tim. Horizon League, third straight conference where we're talking at-large teams here. David, Valparaiso, 8-2.
Yep, and again, some meet there, the wins against BYU, Alabama, and the only two losses coming on the road against top 25 teams anyway. So nothing bad on their profile and a little bit of good. You hope that there's enough on there in the end. Their margin for error is very small. They'll pretty much have to win out or come close to it to be safely inside the bubble. But a really good team again this year. You just hope that their paper matches how good they are on the court.
Yeah, John, they've got Indiana State coming up at home. Indiana State team that, while not being that very good overall, has played a lot of close games against a lot of people, and this might be a dangerous game for Valpo this weekend.
Yeah, they did beat Butler about a week ago, but they also got drilled at home against Western Kentucky, so they're kind of schizophrenic themselves.
Beyond this, John, Oakland is also off to a 9-1 start, but clearly not the paper that Valpo has. But a big game with Michigan State coming up this weekend.
I was going to say, this conference actually has everything from possible bubble teams to possible centenary teams. Yeah. Look at Detroit, just a few miles down the road from Oakland. I mean, their only loss so far is against Nevada, which is certainly respectable, but that was also in the opening round of the Great Alaska Shootout. So they also missed out on an opportunity to actually get a few other decent teams on their profile.
Yeah, this is almost a team that has a bloated record. You just don't know how good they are or not, and maybe we find that out this weekend.
I'd say so.
Next week. Right. It's actually next Wednesday, a week from today, Michigan State.
Another team here, Chad, assuming we're done on Oakland, how about the Norse? In KU, recent transitional team, and again, it's not the paper that Valpo has by any means, but for a recent transitional team to be 7-3 against anybody.
This is Northern Kentucky's first year eligible for the NCAA tournament. They just completed their transition at the end of last year. Very nice record overall.
Yeah, very good.
As we pointed out earlier, they'll be put to the test on Sunday against Eastern Washington.
Right. That's actually a really compelling game there.
That could be your under-the-radar game of the day. We'll keep an eye out for it. A trip to West Virginia coming up, too. That's not going to be a very compelling game.
No. It will write it up as a bye game, but it's not. It was a four-game home-and-home series. Bob Huggins, very good friends with former coach Dave Beavzold. I believe that's his name. I'm
losing. If Chad does make that game the game of the day, I will happily go down to Highland Heights to be in attendance for that one.
All right.
Woo-hoo. Okay. All right. We'll make a note about that one, in fact, right there, so we can deal with it after the show. But let's move on from the Horizon League over to the Ivy League. John, where
I'm glad you went to John.
We're giving you all the lousy conferences tonight. Take it away.
Well, we got to see a little bit of Princeton tonight against St. Joseph's. That was on ESPNU, but even at home, the Tigers were not able to pull that one off. But the good news for this conference, John T's Penn Quakers were able to get a significant win on the road at Central Florida, or at least significant by under-the-radar standards.
Pretty significant, yeah. UCF.
The interesting thing in this conference is probably still has more meaning in terms of the regular season than any other conference out there, just because only half the conference makes the conference tournament, even with the tournament in place.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and in a lot of years I wouldn't say that, well, outside of conference play, but with no one going to be inside the bubble, yeah, it's all going to come down to conference play.
I think
thought just occurred to me. We don't do losing your screw teams anymore, but should we at Hoops HD assign each other an Ivy League team to follow this year? Because one is likely to make the tournament.
I think
at the end of the day, Harvard and Princeton will be among those four teams. I think Yale will be the third team, and it's probably going to come down to a Brown-Columbia-Penn battle for the fourth spot in the Ivy League tournament. But I think Princeton and Harvard will start establishing themselves when they get into conference play. Let's keep going here. And David, let me go to you for the next conference. Metro Atlantic. Let's talk a little bubble again, huh?
Yeah, Monmouth getting a nice win at Memphis last night. And what was a really fun game to watch, just highly entertaining. Not a hostile crowd. Memphis, despite being 7-2, the people haven't really started to come back yet. But, you know, a good Memphis team, I think they could – it's hard to say how much credit Monmouth will ultimately get for this, but it's a nice road win. You know, they have two losses. One of them was at Syracuse. That's certainly forgivable. South Carolina, not a damaging loss, but just a win of that quality could have done for this profile is going to make – I mean, I think that puts them from a solid tournament team, maybe so far inside the bubble, maybe a first ballot, and to the point to where they're sweating unless they win out or, of course, beat North Carolina.
Well, Memphis is 6-1 at home this year, so Monmouth is the only team that's managed to win there.
Right.
They're also going to go out on the limb and guess that not too many teams in the American are going to be able to win in that environment either.
Yeah, so a real nice win, but minus the – say they don't beat North Carolina, and chances are they won't. What do they have to do to get in?
In my opinion, I mean, obviously you got to win that Princeton game. The rest of their games, other than Carolina, will be conference play. I think you got to be 18-2 in this conference. It's a 20-game season. I think you get two slip-ups and a third in the conference tournament.
One of them better be Iona. Yeah.
I don't care if it's Iona or if it's Marist or if it's Canisius. That doesn't matter. In fact, I'm still not that high on this Iona team. I think at the end of the day, Siena will be a better team despite a horrific start to the season.
Horrific.
I kind of think Ryder could be a decent team this year. I really don't think there's anybody that's going to be really, really awful in this conference either. So let's move on then to the next conference up. John, I'm going to turn it over to you. I believe we're up to the Mid-American now. where starting in the East Division, where Ohio got to win tonight. That's all I could say.
They got a win, but they were playing with matches against, who was it, Milwaukee, which was also on Time Warner, Ohio here. And they got out to an 8-point lead early on, but Milwaukee had also managed to get the lead by as much as 5 in the second half, but ultimately the Bobcats were able to pull away. But in another game that was driving the puppet crazy over the weekend, Iona managed to come from behind to beat Ohio in a game where the Bobcats pretty much imploded in the last minute.
They did. And again, it's tough to win on the road. I know that. But it's tough to make the NCAA tournament. And that's what you have to do to make the NCAA tournament. Ohio not getting it done at Iona. I still like this Ohio team. But I don't think they're going to be in our bubble talk once it's all over.
I think if anybody's going to be in the bubble talk now, I'm leaning more towards this Akron team. I know they've got 3 losses, but 2 of them are at Creighton and at Gonzaga. So,
and they were that Creighton game. I mean, Creighton ran away from them in the last 5-6 minutes or so, but for about at least 25-30 minutes, they were right in there.
They've got games against Marshall, UC Irvine, which is actually the first game of a tournament they're playing down in El Paso. They could get a game against UTEP in that tournament as well.
That's not going to help.
No, it's not going to help, but there will be one more non-conference game that besides what you're seeing on the screen there for this Akron team. And with a rare chance here, David, actually, if they win that event, which is not an exempt event, they already won their exempt tournament, and they win the conference tournament, they could go into the NCAA tournament with three tournament championships under their belt already.
Yeah, I mean that's some hardware, and we're not sending them a banner. We sent that to New York. No.
The West Division here, we have not discussed the Central Michigan team. I think they're worth taking a little bit of a look at. I think this is the first time we've even brought them up this in this show here, but they're very quietly out to an 8-3 start. Losses Illinois, St. Bonaventure, and Little Rock, so nothing to hang your head on.
And they also swept Green Bay because there was a home-and-home involved there.
Yeah, so it's just a team that I want to keep an eye on here going forward. We're really going to, somebody's going to win this West Division, obviously. We liked Eastern Michigan heading into the season. We no longer like them as much. I'm keeping an eye on Central at this
point. Oh, okay. I like them to win the division. I don't like them to push for the bubble. But, yeah, I like them to win the division.
Hopefully win the division.
Who's in their division?
Okay. Let's keep going here. David, the MEAC, this was almost our conference because this conference had 3 near misses this week. First, yes. Bethune-Cookman went to South Florida and had a 13-point lead late in the game and gave up a 13-0 run to end regulation and lost it overtime.
Yeah, it was not pretty. Falling to 1-8, again, with the exception of NC Central and probably even them, you're looking at the 16 line, probably the first 4, all the way across the board. As you see here, there are 13 teams in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a shade under half, have not yet won a Div 1 game. And then there's 11 of the 13 at between 0 and 1 Div 1 wins. Not a good start.
Well, David, I also want to bring up a couple of other games here that happened this week, though. North Carolina A&T, one of those teams without a D1 win, had a lead late at UMass that they blew.
Yeah.
And John, North Carolina Central, who is the only team worth discussing, already has a couple of wins. They beat St. John's earlier this season. They beat Missouri earlier this season. I apologize. Yeah. And they had a lead late at LSU that they blew yesterday as well.
Yeah, those were the blown opportunities. But there is one team that did actually cash in, and that's the second fastest team in the country if you go by tempo statistics. And that's the Savannah State Tigers, who managed to go into Oregon State and pull out a win in overtime.
Yeah, first Div 1 win for them.
Yeah, so there have actually been a lot of near misses here from the MEAC, but if it's not going to be North Carolina Central in the NCAA tournament, it is going to be a guaranteed trip to Dayton at this point, and it may be that for NC Central as well. Let's move on over to the Missouri Valley Conference, where Wichita State, as you can see down here on the end of the screen, just barely missed the top 25 polls this week.
Yeah.
The last week could be in there this coming up week. KenPom rating of 18. I think that says a lot. This is that they belong up there. Sagarin rating of 13. A huge win they picked up over Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State coming up this weekend, David.
Yeah, real nice win. In Oklahoma City, I think it was, against Oklahoma. They host Oklahoma State. I expect them to get that. I still like that win at Colorado State. I know you all aren't quite as big on them. The losses to Michigan State, I'm a little surprised at this point that they didn't beat them. I think that they would beat Michigan State most of the time. And other than that, just the loss to Louisville. You look at the rest of their schedule, the way it plays out, they're going to be favored in just about every game, and they might win just about every game. I think that they're going to crack the top 25. We won't be talking about them on this show much longer. I think they're a first-ballot team, and they're a potential round of 32, round of 16 caliber team. This is a very good team.
Yeah.
Now, if there's one other team that we're waiting to make their move, and that's Chad's preseason pick of Illinois State. They still have respectable RPI and KenPom numbers, both of which are actually number 83 at this point. I mean, they did have what we thought was a nice win over Murray State early – or no.
They lost that game.
Win over Fort Wayne, I meant to say, but actually lost to Murray State.
They lost to Murray State. They lost to Tulsa. When you lose to Tulsa, I just hang my head and walk away. I'm sorry, John. Even if they pick up the St. Joe's and the Hawaii wins to finish out non-conference play, it's not going to be enough for me. They probably need to at least split with Wichita and maybe even win twice over Wichita.
No, I'm not saying they're going to get at large at this point because that ship has long since sailed. Okay. But as to what they do in the Valley, that remains to be seen.
What about this bloated – yeah, I think you're going
there. I was going to go to Loyola, David. Okay, go ahead. I was just going to pull up their schedule, so we're thinking the same wavelength here. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, a little bit of a bloated record, and they had what appeared to be a really nice win against San Diego State that is no longer a really nice win because San Diego State is no longer a really nice team. And again, like the one game that I watched that impressed me the most that I've seen so far outside of San Diego State was one of the ones they lost, and that was the game at NC State. They really looked good. It really looked like they should have won that game. They could have. And if they win that one, are we talking about them as an at-large caliber team right now? And is there still time for them to do it?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem here is the number I got highlighted right there, 291 strength of schedule right now, and they probably have to win the Missouri Valley Conference outright over Wichita to get in the discussion at this point because of that strength of schedule just being so weak. Not entirely their fault. You schedule Washington State, you get a game against Washington State, you schedule NC State. You expect some of those programs to be a little bit better than they have been. You schedule San Diego State, that type of thing.
Well, the Washington State game was part of the Paradise Jam, so that wasn't entirely in their reach.
Right.
Yeah, and were they made to play them. Chicago State? That could have been – who won the night, by the way?
Chicago State did not win tonight.
Yeah, they did not. Yeah,
Illinois actually, Chicago won tonight.
It's good for Northwestern. Chicago State did not.
let's go over to the Northeast Conference. John, let me start with you on this conference because we can
get
lousy ones. We do have a winning record for Brooklyn. Nobody else, though.
Yep, and Brooklyn also added another notch to their belt with the win against St. John's as part of, I think it was the Brooklyn Hoops Holiday Classic on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing anything else in this conference. This conference is always a very fun conference during conference play.
Yeah, this one will get more fun once they start playing each other. But, nothing really here. And you really can't even tell that from the Blackbirds, because who have they beaten?
Well, they won at St. John's. They actually played very well at Minnesota tonight. Lost the game by 10 points, but they were respectable in this game here tonight. So, I took almost more away from them in that loss than anything else, even than in beating St. John's.
Well, yeah, because beating St. John's is becoming a pastime.
All right, let's keep going here. Try to get through the rest of these conferences. David, over in the Ohio Valley Conference, they got the Tennessee State team here off to a 7-2 start. Tennessee Martin with the loss at home badly tonight to Arkansas State, 8-4 in the West.
I still like this Tennessee State team. They really – I was kind of soured on them after how badly they played against Vanderbilt. But, you know, again, almost picking up the win at NC State, the margin was over 10 points, but it was a game that went into overtime. Rebounded a little bit tonight with a win over a very, very weak Alabama State team. But Duke, probably not going to get that one.
Really? Probably not, huh?
Yeah. Probably. But I like them more than any – you know, obviously they get the win at Duke, then suddenly, yes, we're talking at large caliber. But assuming they don't, I like them better than anyone else in this league.
And of course,
that's the only saving grace for Tennessee State is they're not going to be facing the Cameron Crazies in that one.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, but the huge win at Middle Tennessee is the big thing on their resume so far. And
yeah. And they really, again, they led for most of that game or a good deal of that game against NC State. And then it was back and forth in the last couple minutes. And then they kind of pulled away in overtime.
I got to say, the other thing about them is the Ohio Valley Conference, kind of disappointing with both Belmont and Murray State. Those are kind of the perennial teams in both of their divisions. And I think they're the two teams I picked to win their divisions this year. And neither one off to that great of a start so far.
No, not at all. You know, Belmont losing the night to Middle Tennessee that we mentioned earlier. They might get it turned around a little bit once conference play starts, but not making a whole lot of noise so far.
John, the Patriot League. Here's another conference that led one team with a winning record. But Bucknell out to a 7-3 start. Do you like them? I kind of like this Lehigh team almost just as much, if not more than them, honestly.
Yeah, one team with a winning record and also one team like Lehigh, which is around 500. They're another team that managed to win at Mississippi State along with another team that we'll get into a little bit later. But if we look at what Bucknell has done, they've done a pretty respectable job, and they've also managed to win five out of their last six, including Vanderbilt, Norfolk, Northern Colorado, Richmond, and also a game at Fairfield where Fairfield has gotten off to a pretty decent start themselves.
Right. And David, let me get at the other schedule here, this Lehigh schedule. They started that year with a very well played game against Xavier that they ended up losing late. But beyond that,
yeah, you kind of hate to say this about a team. But, you know, they, you know, really well-played game against Xavier, losing to Yale in overtime. And then, like, the game at LaSalle, they almost had that one. I think LaSalle pulled away at the very end. But, I mean, you have to finally beat somebody. And they've won the games that they're supposed to win, but, you know, they've looked good in their losses. And I think they could be better than what their record indicates, and one of the better teams is not the best team once they get in the Patriot League play.
They've only had three home games so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, big game coming up next week against Cabrini College, one of the great Philadelphia powerhouse lower here.
Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah. All right. Well, one day we'll do a show all about Cabrini College.
Okay, yes, and I will be there. I will be live from Cabrini College next week.
Southern Conference, or East Tennessee State, I think we're going to start there instead of Chattanooga tonight, David. East Tennessee State with a game at Mississippi State tonight. Putting themselves on the radar now.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed on Saturday. I shouldn't say that. I think I was more impressed with Dayton than I was disappointed in East Tennessee State. I thought they had a real good chance to win that game, and Dayton led by as much as 20 late in the second half. But a nice rebound tonight and getting the win at Mississippi State. They do have a few semi-more chances, but other than that, you know, one of the better teams in the SoCon. I think it's going to be a two-horse race between them and Chattanooga, and maybe one of them lands inside the bubble, if one of them wins the league outright.
Now, if you saw one familiar face on the East Tennessee roster, that is former IU player Hannah Mosquera-Perea, who's now starring for the Buccaneers.
All right, and John, let me pull up Chattanooga's schedule here for you real quick. They are also off to the 8-2 start, the losses to North Carolina and Arkansas State. They get their shot at Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Seems like everybody gets a shot at Vanderbilt this year.
Yep, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I wonder if Vanderbilt knew they were allowed to leave the state of Tennessee, although the only game I remember them leaving was when they lost against Minnesota in the Sanford Pentagon at South Dakota. Not sure how that got arranged, but it is what it is. And Chattanooga also has an outside shot at getting close to at-large discussion.
Okay, another quick shout-out to a team that is generally sub-300. How about the Citadel at 4-4?
Citadel 4-4, 7-4 overall. Once again, the number one tempo in the nation. And then you look at the number right next to the tempo, left to it, adjusted defense, 350 out of 304 teams.
Those are Loyola Marymount numbers. Yeah,
that's how the Citadel plays, but they're winning some games this year, so good for them.
Yeah.
Southland Conference. David, I'm going to give you a lousy one here.
Yes, we have, well, Incarnate Word is 5-3, Chad, as a transitional team.
Abilene Christian, 6-3.
Yes, as a transitional team. And of those, it's kind of the one downside to Incarnate Word is that it looks like 20% or 80% of their wins have not been against Div 1 teams.
Well, let's take a look at who Incarnate Word has beaten here for this 5-3 record. This is one of the fun things that we could do here on the show. We can see here Incarnate Word has powerful wins over St. Edward's, who we discussed for the second time tonight.
Howard Payne, that sounds like an investment firm.
Texas Lutheran.
Vern Lundquist's alma mater.
Texas A&M International. And they are, as we record this, actually, they are getting pounded by UNLV.
Okay, yeah, that's not a good sign. Corpus Christi, although they've been playing a pastry cart, I still think that they look better than anyone else so far. Sam Houston State, I think, is the best team. I think they have the biggest ceiling and that they will emerge. They've been, I think, both of our picks all along. Other than that, even SFA, who has been traditionally dominant, only one Div 1 win. No one else looks any good at all other than Corpus Christi and Sam Houston, at least not to me.
If we're going to highlight Incarnate Word schedule, it's only fair we give Abilene Christian the same treatment right here because they, too, have also used up their allotment of four non-D1 games this year.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving here over to the SWAC.
Oh, look at who's on top.
Yes, if we look at this here, the only team that's ever won our Centenary Award twice for the worst team in D1, the Grambling Tigers, as we look at it right now, 5-6 overall, the number one team in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. And we're going to even pull up their schedule here. We very rarely get a chance to do this for Grambling. They have wins against North Carolina A&T, Savannah State, Tougaloo, Selma, Jarvis Christian. Texas Southern
and Company is what this conference is.
Yeah, Texas Southern does have four wins already, all on the road.
Take a look at this. It's going to be a long time before we see bottom 25 in the country in adjusted offense and defense on top of their conference.
327, 338, 341 KenPom in first place of the conference. How's that? That is a record. Summit League, Fort Wayne, if you look at some of the power rating numbers, seems to be the team that started to separate itself from the rest of the league. Been kind of disappointed in North Dakota State. Nobody else.
I really am too. I really like this North Dakota State team coming into the year, and they just haven't shown it. Fort Wayne's the only team that's really shown anything. Now, much of that is aided with their home win over Indiana, but of their three losses, one was at Notre Dame, a very good Notre Dame team. They didn't really compete. Another one was to kind of a surprise. It was 18 points to Illinois State. I thought that they would play better in that game. And then, but looking pretty good here, and you look at what's laid ahead, they clearly look better than everybody else. I think they're going to finish in first in the league and maybe, if everything falls right, 12-13 range.
They do have a tough out-of-conference test coming up January 9th against Olivet College, so kind of keep an eye out for that one.
Yes.
A little bit of a potential trap game coming up this week, and that's Stetson. Stetson is better this year than we've seen them in quite a long time coming off of that run they made in the A-Sun tournament last year.
And they already rebounded quite nicely against the Vinopoly, man.
All right. Last but not least.
Okay, real quick on Fort Wayne, just real quick. How far does that Indiana win take them? It was at home. It wasn't like they went to Bloomington and won. Are they set up for an at-large bid if they run roughshod over the conference, or do they basically need to win out?
I will tell you at this point, I don't think they can afford – I think they can afford two other losses, one regular season loss, one conference tournament loss. And I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're good enough to do that. Not to go into South Dakota State and win, and North Dakota State and win, and Oral Roberts and win, in Denver and win. It's too many tough places to win in this league. Let's go to the last but not least conference here. And let's start with last year's team of the people, the Grand Canyon Antelopes. As we record this, underway in one of the biggest games in school history at Arizona, down a point very early on in that game. But the Lopes with a huge, huge win over San Diego State.
Oh, man. Real nice win. Beating them twice in a row now. Really competitive against Louisville. A couple head-scratchers here, namely Penn State, who I really was expecting them to beat, and then Edwardsville, but still very much looking like one of the two best teams in this league, New Mexico State being the other. And after that, do you still like this? These ruse here? These ruse being UMKC.
I'll tell you, I think UMKC is going to be competitive, but let me talk a little bit of New Mexico State here, actually. The Aggies – mentioned this earlier, they went to UTEP, which is not that good of a team, but they completely destroyed them. It was bigger than that 79-68. They've now run off seven straight wins, including Air Force, New Mexico, at San Diego, very close loss at San Diego State. So the only loss that I don't like there is the way they lost badly at New Mexico, but I think they've got a very winnable game coming up this weekend at Arizona State. If they pull that off, I'm really getting on behind this New Mexico State team here. I really think that they are a team that we got to start taking a real serious look at.
We've also highlighted New Mexico as one team that they play home and home. People also forget that New Mexico State and UTEP also have a bit of a close proximity in their rivalry, and that first leg they won was actually at El Paso.
Yeah, a home and home with UTEP. I think they started doing that, was it 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
You're right, John. Different states, but still mileage-wise, distance-wise, the two are pretty close, and there is a little bit of heat there.
Right. Beyond that, of course, Bakersfield, the defending WAC tournament champions, and we've got to mention them here. Chicago State this evening had a real shot at Northwestern to win the game. Did a little research while the game was going on. Chicago State has never in their school history won a game against any type of power or major conference team. Their best win, I believe, was about 12 years ago. They picked up a win against St. Bonaventure, so it would have been by far the Cougars' biggest win in their school history. Unfortunately, they just couldn't quite pull it out tonight.
Let's highlight their schedule, because they've actually had two hard luck games in a row, and this was coming off a loss against Bradley. But preceding the Northwestern game, they also had – let's pull it up here – a two-point loss at St. Louis, but even though the Billikens are not that great this year, that one was also there for the taking.
I think they were the victim of an upset that game, David, weren't they?
Yeah, I know.
Game coming up at DePaul this weekend, though, as they continue their you know, maybe they couldn't get Northwestern, they can get DePaul.
Chicago's best. The DePaul-Chicago State game has gripped the city. I mean, the Cubs.
David, question. Is the loser of this game coming up this weekend the worst team in the city of Chicago?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we forgot to highlight this earlier, but UIC actually beat DePaul earlier tonight.
Yes.
Yes. Well, when a lousy team beats another lousy team, we very, very rarely highlight it, John.
DePaul is so putrid.
Okay, let me go ahead and pull that down here. We want to do now is take a quick look, first of all, at some of the upcoming games this week, I believe. And
we want to look at the games, not the puppet's intern.
Not the puppet's intern, whatever that means. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, we mentioned the Charleston and East Carolina game. Another game that I want to circle here is Goldie Peacom College at Coppin State. Dave, this may be Coppin State's only chance for a win all season.
If they lose this, the Centenary's there is probably on the spot. We won't even worry about it after that.
And, John, coming up Friday night, we've got that second leg of that North Dakota State-North Dakota rivalry coming up. Probably the biggest under-the-radar game coming up Friday. But Saturday, we mentioned this during the Hoops HD report, the Western New York Big Four Classic, St. Bonaventure, Niagara, and Canisius Buffalo. We just mentioned the Chicago State-DePaul game. But, Dave, we also have earlier this year, the Team of the People, New Hampshire, went into Temple and won. The original Team of the People, NJIT, Saturday, is going to Temple.
Wow. Well, I mean, 1-0 already, so.
Two of the best teams in the city of Chicago, Loyola Chicago and Illinois Chicago, will be playing each other.
Yeah, old conference rivalry. Now, you know, Loyola's moved on to the Missouri Valley, but they kept each other on the schedule. Like to see that.
A few of the games that we mentioned already, Middle Tennessee at VCU, Rice's at Pittsburgh, Indiana State, Valpo, New Mexico State, Arizona State. John, here's an interesting one coming up on Saturday evening. Utah Valley also off to a pretty good start in the WAC. We didn't just discuss them. At Weber State, a team that has a shot also in the Big Sky.
Yeah, it turns out Utah Valley, after that BYU game, has had some hard luck within their state because they already lost the game against Utah, but also added a loss against Utah State recently. So a little bit of love for the Mountain West.
David, in terms of tough schedules, Saturday, Texas Southern, who needs as much money as they can get, so they play and they play all these awful games, these really tough games. They're going to be in LSU. Sunday, they're going to be at TCU. Back-to-back days going from Baton Rouge to Fort Worth there.
I'm really hoping they can knock off LSU. You know, Texas Southern, they already have the four wins already. That when it comes down to how winnable is it, it's a lot more winnable than the Sunday game.
And one more game, David, coming up on Sunday here that I really need your opinion on. Sacred Heart's going to be at Boston College.
I like Sacred Heart. That one.
Despite BC's huge win over Auburn, we like Sacred Heart here.
Lee Delvecchio be dispatched for that game.
He might be.
Just coming into next week, we already mentioned the Eastern Washington Xavier game coming up. East Carolina is going to be at UNC Wilmington.
That's a big one.
And John, we've got Princeton at Monmouth coming up Tuesday night.
Yep, we discussed that earlier because for Monmouth, this is a must win if they want to entertain any at-large hopes. And Princeton, their hopes are already extinguished, as are all the Ivy teams.
Yeah, so that's just some of the games that are coming up. But on that note, what I want to do is, if we can get it up here in a second, I want to pull up our top 10 list, which is the last thing we like to do every week. Maybe, do we see it?
We see, oh, there. Well, no, it's blank.
Yep, we see it now.
Hoops HD Under the Radar, top 10 list, December 14th. Three of us have submitted ballots. We scored them like the AP poll does. Little cross-country ballot there, and the number one under-the-radar team this week is the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders, David.
Yeah, and they are the best team. I realize Wichita is probably going to end up with the better paper, maybe the better seed, maybe higher in the rankings, but I think Middle Tennessee is better than Wichita. Well, that's why I keep voting them ahead of Wichita.
You and I both voted them number one. John, I'm going to give you the number two team because you voted Wichita number one.
Yep, because I think on this, I'm probably going more eye test than I am the actual paper right here.
Third overall is Valpo. I don't think there's any surprise there from what we've been discussing tonight. And I don't think there's any surprise with our fourth place team or our fifth place teams, UNC Wilmington and Monmouth. I think that's pretty much unanimous. Maybe the order a little different between the three of us and those five teams.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
Oh, okay, and it's kind of interesting. During the Hoops HD report, we made the comment that outside of the Power Five in the Big East, there wasn't much there. But now under the radar, now there's not as many good teams, but I think we've got about six that have legitimate shots at landing inside the bubble. And although there may not be as many good teams, there's the ones that are good are bubble good or better.
I just pulled up that sixth team, Texas Arlington, which I'd agree with you is a sixth team that is in that discussion.
Yeah. You know, wins at two big road wins, one at Texas and one at
St. Mary's.
Yeah, we got Chattanooga came in at 7, Arkansas State at 8. John, any surprise with those?
Nope, not yet.
All right. Number 9, Ohio. John, I want you to defend this because you had them ranked fairly highly, which got them all the way up to number 9. I don't think David Wright even had them in our lists.
All I'm going to say in defense is this was prior to tonight's result.
They won tonight, didn't they?
Great defense. Yeah, they won tonight, but great defense, John.
Okay. Finally, number 10.
Yes.
The team of the people, the New Hampshire Wildcats, does get in there. I must honestly confess that they were not in my top 10, so the two of you carried them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put up the list here of the other teams that did receive votes. My top 10, I would have had New Mexico State in there. That's the vote that they got. I'm very high on this team, and as long as they keep winning, you're going to see me voting for them the rest of the season here. Tennessee State, Akron, and Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
On that note, I guess let's go ahead and pull this down and run through each of you. Any final thoughts, John?
Well, we didn't hit on this on the Hoops HD report because we wanted to save it for Under the Radar, but there is a team that's even below what we've discussed, and that's Taylor University, which is an NAIA school in the Crossroads League in Indiana or near Indianapolis. So they had a silent night tradition on Friday night where they'll stay silent for the first 9 points that they score, but as soon as they score the 10th point, their students will just go crazy. They'll rush the floor, and after the floor has been cleared, they'll start singing Silent Night in the stands. And this year, there was actually a marriage proposal between two students dressed in a Papa Smurf costume and also an Army costume from the Toy Story movie.
To John's point, we can't really show it here, but Google or search for it on YouTube. It is amazing. Silent Night tradition. They do it every year. It's one of the better traditions in all of college sports. It is a spectacle. I can't even explain it. You just have to Google it and watch it.
All right, David, any other thoughts besides that?
Besides that, actually, no, that's a pretty good one. I'll back that one up.
Okay, and you know what? I'll back it, too. I think that's a great way to end the show. So on that note, on behalf of John Salica down there, David Griggs over there, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again next week with the Hoops HD report and an Under the Radar. David, we're going to get you back out on the road again next week.
Yeah, I'll be back on the road next week.
All right, perfect. So on that note, thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.